in search of the untold stories linked to the many blacksmiths that operated in East Galway, I next find myself in the parish of Gurcheen. A lifelong resident of Clunkeen Carroll, it is here, just up the road from John Joe Ward's house, that Pat and Larry Walsh's forge operated. On a crisp autumn night, myself and local historian Emma Laffey sit down with John Joe and PJ Finnerty for what turns out to be a very interesting conversation.
First of all, I was only 7 months old when my mother died. 7 months. She was only 33, my mother. And Paddy Joe's grandmother, my sister Mary, she was 5 years older than me. They reared us in when my mother died. My father had a workshop here with making carts and barrels and all that. But and actually, that was the fourth woman that died here in this house. My grandfather buried two wives. Then my own mother died. And then my own wife died. They was only 16 when my wife died. But anyway, Paddy Joe's mother that reared me and my sister. So, next thing anyway, I come back here, we had the workshop out here outside, and the father and myself, we'd be making carts and wheelbarrows, chairs, all that sort of work, you know. Then my father died in 1962. So, I went out to painting business enough of that. That's how I spent the rest of my life, painting. That's what has me the way I am now, the dust.
Now, you were going to tell me a little bit about the Walshes that were blacksmithing for the area here.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I remember going up to Larry. Larry, there'd be a row of horses down along the side of the road, waiting to be shod. In summer now, you know, in summer and springtime. And Larry'd be there, he'd be belting the anvil, and you'd have to pull the bellows yourself to keep the fire going. Everyone that would come in as a horse would have to work the bellows themselves. You know, did you ever see, were you ever inside the forge?
I wasn't.
You weren't? Well, I had a video of horse showing there, and it show you how to show a wheel. That was, you know, the iron ring that was round the wheel, so you had to put that on and all, you know. But the Welshers used to do that as well. Shoe wheels. They'd be putting the iron ring, they'd have to light a big fire and redden the iron. And you'd have the wheel left down flat. And you'd drop the hot iron, red iron down, and then you'd start pouring water on it. And you'd see the wheel go up on fire. And you'd keep running water on it until you cool down. And then the tire starts tightening on it, you know. They'd only do that now when they'd have maybe five or six wheels to do together. The one fire would do the lot then, you know. It shouldn't be what your wife's do for one wheel, you know. But the horse showing like was the big job doing done. But Larry'd be there anyway, and poor devil, he'd be sick now after the nice drinking. He'd have a 5-legged bottle of porter left in the bench, and he'd take another swig out of it.
And while there are funny memories, the Walshes experienced a great tragedy. While Pat was away with the army during World War I, his family was ravaged by the Spanish flu. Both his father and two brothers died.
Paddy Welsh was either died of the flu, his father, and the two brothers. That was while Pat, the other brother, was out in the war. That all happened while Pat was out in the war. They died from the flu. He was showing horses. He wasn't a soldier. He was showing horses. If you went up in the forge, you were up there before, wouldn't you? His army number now is up there. You see it in his photograph.
John Joe, I'll just bring you back. So there was two brothers. There was Larry and Pat. And they were both very different characters.
Pat was a kind of a big shot, like. And Larry was the worker. When Smith's down here for the biggest days, 450 acres, and Smith had come up in horseback. He always came. Smith never drove the car, even though they had that much money. The wife drove the car. But he'd come to Ford on horseback when he wanted to get the horse shod. And Pat, the lad was out in the war. He'd see Smith coming up in the Rossweg. He was referred to as Mr. Smith. No, not Smith. He was always called Mr. Smith. But as soon as Patty see Mr. Smith coming up, he'd go up in the forward and he'd tell Larry to go down and eat his dinner. He'd do Mr. Smith's horse because he was a big knight, you know.
But was Larry, was it that used to shoe most of the horses he used to do? Was it Larry that
Larry
most
did all the shoeing and Pat did all the complicated work. They had no electric welders now at that time. If you want to do a bit of welding, you're riding two irons and you set a hammer on them and you stuck them together. They used to use sulphur and the giant to make the two irons stick together. They used to make a lot of slains for cutting turf with well. Did you ever see one of them? They used to make the water with them. And they used to put, they used to milk less into the steel to harden the steel and to make slain awful shiny. You'd always know the well's slain. They'd be shiny, it'd be like a mirror always. Pass it, just do all that slain work. And any other complicated job that would come, fixing ploughs or doing awful iron work that time, with all iron work. Lohans and Minda, that's where it all came from. All the shoeing iron came from Lohans. Pretty great shop that time. Well, in the finish, he was bringing it home on the bike, but it used to be delivered before that when he was working in a big way. And he'd always have another horse shoe was made up in a rake. The way he wouldn't have to make it when he'd bring in the horse, you know, to save time. He could have 20 or 30 pairs of shoes made, and they'd be hanging up there in racks. And the minute the horse would come in, he'd know the size that would go on the horse. Be ever measuring them, be looking at it. So what they used to do then, they used to take the shoes, when the shoes would be on about, we'd say 6 or 7 weeks, the horse's hoof, it'd be growing all the time. And the shoe would get loose. So what they used to do, they called it removes, they used to call it. If you took off the shoes and dressed them and cut the hooves and put the same shoe on again, that was called removes. And do you know what he used to charge to get that, to do that? 4 shillings to put on the 4 shoes, take them off and cut the hooves and put them on again and tighten the nails, 4 shillings. But you get 3 pints for 4 shillings that time.
Tell me, John Joe, how busy were the lads up there when the forge was going?
How what?
How busy were Larry and Pat?
Oh, geez, they were very busy. Oh, they'd be flat out. You'd be talking about 12 hours a day every day. I remember one Saturday evening, 8 o'clock, and there was 5 horses down along the road. He was shoeing one, and there was 5 more down along the road to be shod. Mm. They were eating grass along where the new school is built now. And as soon as Larry showed the last one, then he did for Gorchin, the pub. And the poor devil, after walking the hard day, after 2 pints, he'd start singing. To be easy enough, such a drunk move, just a 12-hour day, put in, I tell you. The leather on the pub. He didn't want any noise or singing or anything in the pub. And they'd put poor Larry out, creature. That's what the office said. But I remember one particular day, we had an offer priest here, and the people were out afraid of him. And do you know what he used to do? They used to shake the holy water that time, before Mass had started. He'd come down to shake the holy water. And he'd look out the door, and if he saw anyone coming in, he used to lock the door, you see, when he'd shake the holy water. But he'd have the door open the way he'd see the people coming in, anyone that came in late, and he'd know them. But anyway, this particular Sunday, Larry was coming in, he was about 5 minutes late, I'd say, but the priest looked out for us, and he saw him coming in the path. We could hear it in the church, come back, come back, come back. The priest shouting at him. And geez, I thought it was awful sad. I can tell this was only yesterday. See, walking up the church with his nail boots and the priest driving him all the way to the front seat. He said, no, blacksmith, he'd have a black face. he'd never be able to watch CS Rides around the corner. What an awful thing to do. Oh, he was a peculiar priest. He had a men's side and a woman's side, and then he wouldn't let a man and his wife go in together in the same seat. He'd separate and he'd make the wife go in the wife's side, or the women's side.
Yeah.
One day, wasn't that peculiar? If he was around now, he'd see where it ended the day.
John Joe, what was it like then in the forge when you went in?
To be very black inside, and it was smoke, and there'd be coal, the smell of coal, horseshoe, old horseshoe, there was a mighty pile of old horseshoes in it, an anvil left open a block of timber, and all his hammers, and all the tools, the pinchers, and all the tools he'd have, and the bellows were blowing the fire, and the place would fill up with smoke then when you start blowing the bellows. And the iron, he'd pull it out to be white red now, you know, to be that hard. Soft, real soft. And he could do anything with it, like when you go hammering on an anvil, he could make it into any shape, you know.
T'was a hugely skilled job, wasn't it, for the men that did it?
Oh, it was, definitely it was. But I tell you, they earned their money, the whole of it. For that hard work. You know, big, heavy horses now, and you have to lift up his foot, his leg. Not one would give them a kick. And I remember one day he had this horse, and the horse tried to go. And Larry held onto the horse's leg, and he went across the road, and then he knocked and fell the far side, and Larry still held onto the leg. That's the gospel truth, though. Horse fault, yeah.
There must have been some funny stories in that forge.
Be a lot more if I could think of them.
And did they used to call in here into the house, the Walshes?
Oh, they used to call here regular. And they said in the bear I hadn't been often left here for a week. There wasn't a lot of profit out of that bear. And that happened about every 2 weeks. You'd hear a frosty night, and you'd hear the nail, he always wore nail boots, big heavy nail boots. You'd hear the clatter of them come up the road in the frosty nights, you know. There was two bears on his bike. And they'd been the bear would be 16 foot long. And they'd been to double legs. They'd bring it down to 8 feet. And he'd tie onto the two bears in. He'd make it sort of bendy like that, you know.
Like a horseshoe shape around the bike.
Huh?
Like a horseshoe shape you'd bend around
the bike. Yeah, horseshoe.
Do you remember how long were they blacksmithing, like how many years?
I'd say over 100 years anyway, at least. The forge under fire, one said, to test, and they re-roofed it. That'd be back in the 30s. I know, I don't remember that. John Kennedy was telling me about it. He saw it on fire one time. That'd be no after the time, said on Pat, time Pat and Larry be there. Pat spent a good while in England after the war. He was living very rough on it. And eventually he came home anyway. And the father and the two brothers were dead, and he came home. And the flu. The same thing is happening now, again. Over 100 years later, with all this old virus.
Mm-hmm. Where are they buried now, John Joe?
Just there on the hill. You can see
there.
If you open the door there, you can see the headstone. And Pat is buried down below with Tim Petty Joe, where he was buried. Pat is buried on his own. That was Pat was the gentleman, you see. He got his own grave and all.
What were they like in latter years, John Joe, when they were getting older?
Well, there was Katie, the sister there. Katie and Larry. One of them came back from America. Oh, I can't hold her name now. She had plenty of money. And she did up the old house for them. The house had been roofing. She re-roofed it. But Larry never moved in. He lived in the real old house all the time. He never lived with them.
How did the forge come to an end there, John Joe?
Well, when Larry got killed then, he fell off the bicycle with the bar of iron. Going down, pulled him wrong. Coming down that big hill. He went out with the handlebars there. He'd lived for about a week. That was in 1984. That was in the forge then. But fastened it up in there about 10 years ago. They knocked and rebuilt it. Made a nice job, no, too. But there's no bellies in it now, like in the old days. There's a place for the fire, all right. But the day it opened, in the blacksmith in the day it opened, and he shot horses.
Aww.
It was a great day, that
and
day.
Was that filmed, John Joe, that day?
No, only photographs.
Only photographs.
It must have been a sad day, was it, when the forge closed, though, after Larry died?
Well, actually, I have some photographs of that day now. But to find them out with the job. It was hard work. Wheeling tough in a barrow. Lead cut with his lane. But we were very fit that time. Mm. We wouldn't even be tired in the evening. And we're wheeling barrow the turf 70 yards out from the bank. Would you believe that? On its own wheel. 25 sods of wet turf each time. If you ask young Nettie with that noise, if we're looking at there.
Would Larry call here much?
He used to call very often. He often called him a Sunday as well.
Yeah.
He'd be coming up from Bourke's there, in the pub. There's a photograph of him above in the ford. Himself and Katie and Pat. It was a non-profit making organisation anyway.
As our conversation about the blacksmiths comes to an end, John Joe has some very interesting observations to share.
I remember the war years as well. You're not interested in that, are you? The time of the war, I far back as I can remember, I see them talking about Hitler. I didn't know who Hitler was at the time. I remember the planes passing during the war, the old, not like the planes of today, but they'd be real bits of cloth hanging out with them, real dirty looking things, you know. They'd be bombers, like. And I remember the people being afraid of them. And I didn't know why, you know. Three or four of them would pass every day. They'd be barely clearing the treetops now, they'd be that low. That time now it seemed that there mustn't have any rail or anything. That they used to go by landmarks along the railway line. Now an awful lot of them used to follow the railway line, you know, and main roads. But they'd be as low now as you could see the people inside them. But they'd be real dirty looking things, bits of cloth. Must be awful cold in them. I don't know how cloth coats, some sort of canvas covering them, you know. You'd have to even see the bombs side onto the bottom of them. You'd see them there, they'd be like kegs of gas.
And how old were you? What age were you that
time? Well, I'd say I must be only about 5. Far back as I can remember, anyway. One of them crashed below and burned a jarrig as well, it went on fire. And one landed in the fair and had nothing now. Petty Joe's father didn't see that one. It landed in the field of bees. There's huge fields over there. Did you ever go to Galway that way, the old road? From Athenry to Galway. Well, there's big fields there that belong to the farmyard. It was in one of them fields the plane crashed. It went through a big stone wall. It was there for ages, they brought away piece by piece.
Well, you must have been terrified of them going over your head when you were very small. It would have been very
noisy. Well, and the people were afraid of them too.
Yeah.
They were awful noisy. Mm. Compared to today's players now, they were terrible noisy. Do you think it was going to fall down in a minute, you know?